just for clarity for my recording that I just now started. John chapter 15, or sorry, chapter 6, verses 15 through 21. And the Bible says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." And so we see here an account that is in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. And it's Jesus walking on the water. This is another one of the amazing, wonderful miracles that Jesus did. This is right on the heels of him feeding 5,000, another amazing miracle. And we'll see how they tie together as we kind of look at this line by line. Again, there are two other Gospels that tell of this account and flesh out some more of the detail of what went on. But just some interesting things that we can take from this and maybe some application that we can make. There's some good pictures here. And so firstly, we see in verse 15, and we kind of ended on verse 15 last time, because the reason that they were all flocking to him was because of all that were fed. And so that he had fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They, at the end of it all, they gathered up 12 baskets with fragments of bread over and above what everyone had eaten. And so then these men wanted to come and take him by force to make him a king. He leaves and goes up into a mountain himself alone. And so we see here that Christ rebuked the fleshly desire of men to have him rule. You know, Jesus does desire rule. He has every right to rule. He's the King of Kings, but he desires to rule in your heart. And there is coming a day when he will rule physically. He will rule with a rod of iron, but that time has not come. And it had not come at this time. Yet he wanted men to allow him rule in their hearts if they would believe on him and trust him. And yet these men had more in mind than that. They saw him. They were impressed with what he had done. They believed that he was, as it says here, that prophet that should come into the world. And yet, what they thought that prophet would bring was not what Jesus had in mind at this time. And so, they wanted the power. They wanted a ruler that would have power. They wanted this and the miracles. They want, and we know this, and we'll get into it here, because the other scripture bears this out, where Jesus points out to them that it was because of the bread. It was because of the bread that they wanted him, not for spiritual reasons. And so they wanted this miracle worker in their pocket, the bread maker, you know, but not understanding the whole point of all of that. Was to express his power and his ability to meet the need. If you would cease from your own way and look to him, he can sustain you. He has more than enough for everyone. And yet, they wanted that miracle worker. They wanted the power. They wanted the Romans off their backs. They wanted temporal rulership. They wanted temporal victory. And so he proved here that he wasn't having it. He demonstrated humility in that when all these people wanted to hoist him on their shoulders and and exalt him and give him acclaim and give him fame. Instead, he left them all and went up into a mountain alone. He also proved that, again, because they wanted domination over the Romans, but Jesus proved he was not an enemy to Caesar. He was not looking to be seditious. He was not looking to overthrow the government. By the way, here in this day and age, born-again believers should not be seditious and seeking to overthrow governments. I'll tell you right now, we have the government we deserve. And so we need to pray for our nation's leaders. We need to pray that they will see the truth that we've seen and that it would change them from the inside out. And so Jesus, though, proved that he was not seditious. We see also in Luke 20 when he was specifically challenged about Caesar, whether it was lawful to give tribute to Caesar, he took a piece of their money and said, you know, whose inscription is on here? Like, whose face is on the money? Caesar's. And he said in Luke 20:25, and he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And so he was not seeking to take Caesar's territory as these men came to make him their king. We mentioned this before in John 18. He gives answer to Pilate when Pilate is questioning him as to why his own people are crucifying him. In John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And so he left into a mountain. Had he desired their accolades, had he desired the fame that they wanted to give him, he could have just simply stayed. They wanted to take him by force and make him a king. He didn't even have to do anything. They would have picked him up on the shoulders and taken him and gladly burnt the city to the ground and said, this is our king, and deposed. He would have just had to stay. I say that because, you know, sometimes to stay right with what is right, you have to leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not okay to just sort of let things happen around you and to think that, well, I'm not making the decision, so it's not my responsibility. Sometimes you need to say, I'm leaving. This is not happening. You know, I think of back in my, and again, I was not a believer in college, but I think of the number of times when I was there at, you know, at somebody's place and people start to come and then things start happening that ought not be happening. That's the time to get up and leave. We don't just let people carry on their way and through our silence provide that tacit approval or provide our presence as endorsement. And so he was not endorsing their movement. He was out of there. And he sent them away. We see Job 28:28. This is what the Lord taught Job here. It says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You know, sedition is evil. Jesus wanted no part of it. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And so, of course, Jesus Christ only did those things that please the Father. He is the walking embodiment of truth and righteousness and goodness. And so, of course, he was not going to take part in this rally to change the government. And so he voted with his feet. He just simply left. And he sent his disciples away. It says here in our text that he went again into a mountain himself alone. We know that he went to pray. The corollary verses in Matthew 14 tell us that. Matthew 14:23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And again, Jesus provides an example. You know, Jesus often ministered to great crowds. When he fed the 5,000, that was 5,000 men, plus women and children. So great crowds. He had the press upon him. Was so great at times that people couldn't even move. You know, they had to pull the roof boards and lower people in to get more people into the meeting. So many people wanted to see him. And so he preached to great crowds. And he also taught to a few disciples. But Jesus always took time to be alone with the Father and to spend that time in prayer. And so even though there's much excitement here and much is going on, he goes up alone to a mountain to pray. And, you know, we may give and receive a spiritual blessing by sharing fellowship in larger groups and smaller groups, but each of us needs personal devotional time with the Lord. You know, the time of spiritual refreshing and having a spiritual meal, as it is, as we're studying the Word of God, is that's a wonderful blessing. But it shouldn't be the only time you eat. We need every day to be spending time in personal devotion with the Lord, reading His Word and spending time in prayer. Not about necessarily what He corporately wants to do with us, but what does He want to do with you? I believe that if each of us are really connected with what God wants individually from us, and we're seeking alone time with God, I believe that will be seen within the congregation. I think that will be apparent that each of us individually is spending time with God. And none of us is expecting to just sort of coast along in the crowd. Because God has a plan for this church, but He has a plan for every individual in this church. And He desires for you to submit to Him and not just sort of, as the church sort of decides what we're going to do and where we're headed and how that's going, that you just sort of go along thinking that's God's will. God has a specific will for you. And if we're all following it, then we corporately will be walking in the will of God. And so that ought to be our desire. And Jesus here provides an example of that. And so then, as we continue in our text, John 6:16 and following, it says, "And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew." Now, in this, we know already from the corollary verses that they went out in the boat as they did at Jesus' direction. Again, in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22, it says here, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side." And so he was headed up the mountain to pray. He said, "You go get down on the ship and get over to the other side." And so that's why they were headed out in this particular instance. And so the disciples followed their master's wishes. They headed out. It doesn't say that they started in a storm. I don't know that they'd be necessarily so foolish as to set sail in a storm, but they put out in fair weather and they came upon a storm. It says here that the sea arose. And so it hadn't risen. It rose when they were out on the sea. And so here they are, out on the sea in a storm. And, you know, I just immediately am brought to think about how that is in our lives. You know, we spend time with the Lord. We get what we believe is direction. And we make a plan according to what we believe is right concerning, you know, how God is working in our lives. If we're making decisions, living our lives. And we get out there and we get into a particular situation and things start out calm. But then things can get out of control in a hurry. And we're experiencing some of that here over the last couple days where everything seems fine. And then all of a sudden, we're right in the midst of drama. And sometimes it's very serious. Sometimes everything just seems to be going fine. And out of the blue, you get news about your health. Or things are happening within your family, or all of a sudden you lose a job, or something happens in your home. I know a fellow I know here in town, everything was going very fine, and then all of a sudden his house burned to the ground. And all of a sudden things changed very quickly for him. And so the trials of life can seem overwhelming. You know, they were there, and the Lord wasn't there with them. They couldn't just look right over to him. And so, you know, even for us, life can seem overwhelming when we just look at the situation. And we can sometimes wonder, you know, how did we get here? And yet, God allows these things. 2 Corinthians talks about the Christian life in this regard. It says here in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, and 10, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And so we often are put upon, you know, at all times, if you're a born-again child of God, you realize Satan hates you every day. You know, he never takes a day off. That actually reminded me again of old Lester Roloff. So, by the way, this morning's message, I mentioned Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. I said you should watch that. And then, you know, I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but then guess what showed up from the Lester Roloff Society in my news feed of their sermon of the day, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. So I shared that out for people to listen to. Anyways, Lester Roloff, when he was talking one time, he talked about the year that he entered into college, Baylor University, to get his Bible training. And he said, you know, it was so hard. He said, I was so poor and so dumb and, you know, didn't have anything. And he said, it was just very hard. And he said, you know, the devil really attacked me that year. And every year after that, and this is now 40 years hence. And so we're always going to be put upon, if you're, and especially if you're in the battle, you know, if you're coasting with the flesh and walking carnally, Satan's gotcha. He just, you know, just puts a check mark beside your name and he'll focus on those. But if you're serving the Lord, Satan's going to come for you. He's going to want to put you in distress. He's going to want to put you in a situation where you're going to start to doubt your safety, your footing, where you're going to start to try and take life into your own hands, that he could scare you into taking the wheel as it is. And that'll never stop. Your flesh, until the day we die, your flesh is going to be fighting every day to control you. And many days your flesh is going to win. And I think that's something we need to acknowledge. Because sometimes we can be headed down a path and we can wonder how we're getting where we're going. And it's because the flesh is trying hard every day, and sometimes it's winning more than it's losing. And so all that pressure is going to be on you. And so maybe it's personal trial. Maybe it appears that no clear direction is forthcoming. You know, Job understood that. Job, who God himself says a man who loved God and eschewed evil, he was a good man in that regard. He went through some pretty terrible things, some real loss. And yet, here's what he said in Job 23, 8, 9, and 10. He says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so, Jesus is there. It's not that he doesn't know what's going on, but Jesus has a purpose in our lives. He allows us to endure some things. He allows us to take some heat that we can burn off some of the dross, if you understand that terminology. When you heat a precious metal, and the impurities come to the surface, that they can be skimmed off, that the resulting gold or silver is more pure. That comes through heat. And I believe that many times God allows us to have trials and to sit in the storm as it is in this, where he's not there per se, where he does prove us. And he shows us who we're really trusting. And he gives us opportunity to purge some of the dross of our insecurities and our lack of trust in him. And he helps us develop character. He helps us become more compassionate. You know, how shallow would we be if God just was the universe's greatest helicopter parent who just solved all your, who just like, not solved all your problems, because he is the solution. But what I'm saying is, who never allowed you to endure anything, but just made it all go away. By the way, that's the God that the charismatics want to worship. That it's just Disneyland every day, and checks in the mail, and just a party every single day, and only joy, 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 because we're winning, 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 and more money, and more property, and more friends, and more frivolity. And that if you're sick, or if you're broke, that somehow something must be wrong. You know, that's like Job's friends. Job's friends were telling, well, you must have sinned. That's why God did this to you. And yet we understand a good and loving God does allow us to go through trials to purge us, and for us to rely on him, and for us to have character, for us to be people of character and people of compassion. Some of the kindest, warmest people that I've met are those who I know have gone through great trials in their life and have lost much. And yet, God was faithful, and their relationship with God grew stronger. So Jesus perceived what was going on. It says here in our text in verse 19, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Also, I think it's interesting, these men at the time were rowing against the wind. Because if they're in a storm where there's wind blowing, obviously they're going against the wind, right? If they were going with the wind, they would just go with the wind. They wouldn't row. So they're fighting the direction. It was taking them in a wrong direction. And so he's watching them. And how do we know that he's watching them? Well, Mark 6 is the other account here. And so Mark 6:48, it says, and following, it says, and he saw them toiling and rowing. See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, Jesus understands sometimes that you're struggling, but he knows what's good for you. I don't know, again, for those of us that are parents, and for those of you that have parents, you know this as well, that there were times in your life when you were working at something and maybe not succeeding like you'd want to, and your parents just bided their time and just let you work through it to show you a few things until ultimately you come to the end of yourself and you ask for help. And then help is provided. But growth is occurring there. You give opportunity for some work to be done, maybe potentially for failure. And so he saw them toiling and rowing. It says, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And so he was allowing this to occur. I find that really interesting. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, this is Mark 6:49, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now this is a very important verse, verse 52, Mark 6:52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. This is the disciples we're talking about. And so Jesus walking on the water here was a demonstration of power. I say it was like the feeding of the 5,000 in that he was trying to demonstrate to them that he was the one that they needed to look to. He was the one with the power. He was the one they needed to trust. And that was the purpose of the loaves. And yet, they were afraid of this miracle. Why? Because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. It's hard for me to comprehend, but just understand, disciples are a wonderful picture of us. How many times has God delivered you in an amazing way, and maybe in a way you don't entirely understand, and then the very next decision, you're back to looking at your finances, your ability, you. Just on the very next decision. And these men who had just seen him feed 5,000 plus people effortlessly were afraid of what they were looking at. Until he clarified, he said, "It is I, be not afraid," in our text here, in verse 20 of our text. "But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And so, again, the Lord Jesus allows for things to happen, but, you know, when ultimately he knows what's going on. He was watching this happen. He was there. You know, there's not a thing that you're going through in your life that Jesus isn't there. He's not in the other room. He's right here with you. He is willing to intervene. You know, these men, when they were afraid and cried out, he answered them. He came to them. He said, "It is I, be not afraid." You know, we can understand that we have a Savior that will come to us when we find ourselves, and we do find ourselves in situations where we really don't know what the way forward is. We really don't know what the solution is. And yet, when we cry out to him, he will answer. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why should you fear then what men might do unto you?" And so we can have great confidence in him. When he showed up, things changed immediately. You know, and for us too, when we allow the Lord into our situation, it's going to change. The waves were stilled. And it says here in our text, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And I think that in and of itself is a miracle. Because it doesn't say that they lost track of time. They were rowing against the wind. Whether they were winning or losing, they had only made about 25 furlongs. And yet, when Jesus entered into the ship, he got them right where they needed to be. And I just find that interesting. It says immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And so, just as he heals completely, just as he saves completely, he can also get you exactly where you need to go and bring you there. And so when we see God for who he is, the one who loves us the most, the only one who really can help us, we ought to thankfully and reverently receive him. Just as they received him onto the ship, we ought to just humble ourselves and receive. Because he desires to work in every decision. We're told to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. And so he desires to do that work in us. And so we ought to receive him as he seeks to work and to intervene in our lives. As he seeks to settle the waves. Because the waves might be raging outside, but they don't need to be raging inside. We can know that we're secure in the Lord. And so I think of Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, that says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And I believe in all of this, in him walking on water, you know, contradicting the laws of physics, proving that he is the lawmaker, in feeding the 5,000, showing that, you know, as I mentioned before, he doesn't need to harvest a field full of grain and grind the grain in a grist mill and bake it in ovens and then hand it out. He can just go straight to the feeding. Just demonstrates his power, his everlasting strength. And so when we recognize that in the Lord and in our lives, it really ought to bring us peace. It ought to keep us in perfect peace because we're really trusting in the Lord for each decision in our life. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you tonight. You know, as we carry on through, we'll see here. This next portion is probably one of my most quoted. And actually, Brother Ron quoted it this morning, where he explains himself as the bread of life. And I love how it's just 1, 2, 3. He feeds 5,000, and then he's preaching on the bread of life. He truly is. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you again tonight. You might be dealing with a trial. You might be dealing with a struggle. You might be fearful of what the future is. You might be fearing a job loss, especially in this day and age, the things that are happening right now. But you need to really look to God. He can solve your issue, and he can take away the fear. And really, he's just looking for you to trust him. He can direct you in the way that you need to go. And if you'll follow him, then no matter what the consequence of that is, it's really the very best place that you can be, whether you're in the storm or not. If Jesus is there with you, that's the place you want to be. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time to look into thy word. It's so wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus is aware of every aspect of our lives, that he cares for us. And Lord, that you are a loving Father and you desire to lead us and to guide us, to teach us, to give us character, Lord, to allow us to be proven, to demonstrate our love for you, to demonstrate our trust for you to this lost world that needs to know that there is a Savior. And so, Lord, that we might be faithful servants of thine, and that we would, in life's trials, be looking to thee and also be communicating to others that it's you that we're really trusting and not our own intellect or our own finances or the strength of our arm, that people might understand they also need to trust thee. So many in this world tonight are looking to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and yet we need to cease from our own works, cease from our own struggle, and just submit ourselves to thee and certainly receive thee as Savior for those that haven't. And then for us that have, that we would recognize who you are and allow you to lead in our lives. So Lord, just do your work in each of our hearts tonight. We do pray as we enter in to this week that you would open up effectual doors of witness, that we can be a blessing to those around us. Lord, we pray that you'd use us for thy glory and watch over and protect us as we do that, that you would prepare the way. Even pray for those that would receive John and Romans and Bible tracts here this week, that they would be encouraged to open those materials and read them, and that that might make an eternal difference in their lives. And Lord, just help us to live with an understanding of thy love, that it would color every decision that we make. And so Lord, just dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much. And look forward to seeing you, some of you, on Tuesday or Wednesday night. Lord bless. Wow.